You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Exodus and chapter 20. Exodus and chapter 20. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Thank you very much. Thank you for just being able to say thank you. God, we owe you. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our looking at God's word in the light of the day and age, day which we live, you would be reminded that God created each of you, each of us, in his image and likeness. He created each of us male and female, so that there's no, that's just the way it is, male and female. There's nothing in between, no way in between. So to the measure, you don't want to make believe you're something else. Anyone that does that, you're going to lose, because you're trying to go and make believe reality. Make believe isn't reality. And you can't make things work that are real in an unreal world. You can't do that. Therefore, Exodus chapter 20, God created male and female, mother and father. Genesis chapter 2. Now, here we are in Exodus chapter 20. God's giving the Ten Commandments to Israel, and to help them be a testimony to all of the nations, and therefore they're going to be able to have a relationship to God that the world can look at. That's Exodus 20 and the first four commandments. They're going to have a relationship to the world. That's the next commandments, verse 12 and finish, verse 6, six commandments. They're going to have a testimony. So they're going to be able to look to God and look to God rightly as a unit. They're going to be able to interact, relate to each other in a way that honors God. And if we love God with all our heart, first commandment, and we're going to be able to go and love thy neighbor as thyself. We're able to do that. Now, that's the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments have, is like a bridge. God, how can we go from God to humans? How do we do that? Well, because you're one of them. You're created either male or female, and you had to have a mother or father, mother and father. It's just the way it is, like it or not. So you have to have that. And that's the fifth commandment, chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So when we honor God, we're able to exercise, verse 13, 14, 15, our relationship to humans, right? If we don't exercise our relationship to God, then we don't exercise our relationship to humans, rightly. And we have all of that in our personal experiences. Now, so, God, we've got to honor you, first four commandments, and in order to honor the world and humans in which we live among. And the only way we can do that is to make sure we understand, honor our father and mother. That's the bridge. That's the way to get to God. God created us. It's God's plan, God's wonderful purpose, male and female, mother and father, and out of mother and father comes the little baby, the child. And that's God's plan. Wonderful plan it is. And when you lose that plan, then you're in trouble in more ways than one, to say the least. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now, God, as we go down the corridor of time, how well are we going to be able to honor father and mother? Not very well, actually. History goes down the corridor of time, and things are what they are and become what they become. And therefore, the world as we know it, especially in our day, is a world that doesn't really know. And think of the book and other things that are written, Society Without a Father. The World Without a Father. Our country, better, that was the subject. Our country without a father. No father. What do you do in a country with no father? And remember, our founding fathers, the founding fathers, we call them, because they're the base, the foundation. Now, so having said that, so the world doesn't go too well. Now, David, you're going to help us. I am. Chapter 27, Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Picking up, if I may. So what are we going to do? Well, it doesn't come out like it should. And Israel certainly failed. And the world fails for sure. So therefore, family life and married life and all of that growing up has its ups and downs and is not a very easy journey as God intended it to be. It isn't that. So therefore, God, what are we going to do? Well, God, you have a wonderful plan. I do. And God, you're going to make that plan. You don't change the plan. No, don't change anything. No. So God, how are we going to find out the purpose of honoring father and mother in order to know you? How are we going to get that? Therefore, Psalm 27. And Psalm 27, and picking up, please, in thought, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, said David, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from far from me, but put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Wow. So it isn't going to go very well. No, it isn't. So what are we going to do when things aren't? Well, what do you say, David? You've got to go to God. That's at least at the very minimum. I'm a product of God's wonderful grace by way of father and mother. He created me, and here I am. So God, my mother and father may not be all that we should be, could be, but you are. So when everything falls apart, there's always God. That's what you do. Now, having said that, God, David, are you going to communicate that? Is that message needed to be communicated? Absolutely. Over, if you would, to 1 Chronicles. And 1 Chronicles, if you would. David, you're going to help. You communicate. You understand human frailty and everything. Absolutely. So there's no question we aren't getting all excited about our humanness or our whatever. Nope. God, we're going to get it. And David, you're about to die and come along here. And God has a wonderful plan to build the temple, etc. But it isn't going to be by David. So therefore, God, David, here we are. Chapter 28 and in verse 6. And I'll read even verse 5. And of all the sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of his kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son. I will be his father. I have chosen him to be my son. I will be his father. That's what it means. Hang on. Now, while you're in there, chapter 28, going over to verse 9. What are you going to tell Solomon? And thou, he's going to, this is the greatest, the whole assembly is assembled together in the time, this time, and David speaking, and David deals with Solomon directly. Verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. It isn't David. David, what a wonderful father Solomon had. King David. Wow. God loved him. The man God loved. Wow. How could you ask for better? No, it isn't about David. It isn't about us. David, what did you say? You clued your son in properly. I did. I told him to get to God. And if he doesn't get to God, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work if he doesn't get to God. Now, God, but his father and mother, honor, that doesn't mean they're great or good or bad or whatever. It just means we understand that's the channel, that's the process. We want to honor that. Now, having said that, over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, picking up, please, in thought. Now, here's David, and David, in his wonderful childlike faith in God, here he is. And Solomon. Solomon is, what are you, without reading at all, and Solomon, what are you going to say? I'm going to say, I'm going to look to God, who's going to give me the job that my father had of being king of Israel. So I'm going to look to you, God. And I want you to know, God, I'm just a little kid. I'm just a little boy. That's what Solomon said. I'm just a little boy, God. Now God honored that. Why did God pick Solomon? He has all these different sons. No, Solomon? Solomon has what? Solomon's going to start out right. Solomon got his heart right. He said, I'm not God. I can't be my father's. I can't be king like my father. I'm not my father. No. But Solomon, you need to look to God. What is Solomon going to do? He's going to look to God. I'm just a little kid, a little child. Ah. That's why God is, we're jumping ahead, that's why God is going to go to give him wisdom like no one else in all the earth. It's a gift about ants, bugs, technology, science, mathematics. We have no idea what he had. He had all of it. He didn't do a thing. He didn't pay a $1 trillion to go to school. He didn't. God just did it for him. He's special because he's childlike. That's what God wanted. So therefore, Matthew 18, to remind ourselves, in the light of this day, Father's Day, chapter 18, going, if I can, to verse 2. And Jesus called a little child, unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted, changed, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, therefore, God, so what are you saying? Well, here's these little children sitting on my lap, and I want you to know, I want you to be like that. I want you guys that are standing up, disciples and everybody, I want you to be like that. I want you to be able to go, as it were, and sit in my lap like a little child. I want you to have that kind of confidence, comfortableness, and assurance. That's what I want you to understand. Wow. You got to become childlike. Oh, I'm adult. I gotta be an adult. No, no. I don't want to ever lose that. I hope you never do. I always want to be childlike. That doesn't mean childish. It means childlike, very dependent, willing. God, say it, we'll do it. God. Now, Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so Solomon is going to go, and he has a journey ahead of him, and he could understand God, and God would be a father to him in a most wonderful way. But unfortunately, Solomon didn't do that well. So now, therefore, Solomon, here we are looking at looking back and understanding it. And God, what do you want for us? What am I supposed to learn? Well, there's a likeness. Without doing all that in Deuteronomy and that, there's a wonderful likeness. What is that? God said, I looked to Israel to see if I had my mark on them, that they're trusting me. I couldn't find my mark. I couldn't find an identification that they came from me. I couldn't find it. I was looking to see it. I was looking to see. I couldn't find it. The mark to show that they belong to me. They're mine. My children. Likeness. Wonderful, wonderful likeness. Wonderful, wonderful love. Wonderful, wonderful life. And all of it, God, is given to us in you. And therefore, when father or mother forsake us, we are not to go and get discouraged or anything. Because it isn't about mother and father, the best ones in the world. It isn't about that. It isn't about your mother and father and going down a notch or two or three, your friends. It isn't going to do it. It's not going to do it. They can't do it. They can never rise you higher than they are. Do it another way. You, well, here we are, us humans, and we have heart and mind, all that. Now, you can never raise anyone higher than yourself. True? You can't give them your brain, and you can't give them your mind, and you could try. But you can't raise them higher than you are. You're only so tall. I don't care if you're 50 feet tall. You only can raise them so high. You can't bring people closer to God than you are. And without God, you can't do it. You're not capable of doing it. But I'm a bishop. I'm a whatever you are. It doesn't matter what you are. You can't do it. You can't bring people more than you are. You can't do it. All we can do, like David, we point to the God who can make us what we aren't, what we ought to be. So we have to understand we're limited. We're little, I say it all these years, little and limited. There's nothing wrong with being little, because we're all little. You're all little. And limited, no matter how you cut the cookie. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9. Now, what about God in his marvelous person? Isaiah chapter 9. And you will note, if you would, picking up, please, I'll go to verse 6, a familiar verse to you. Unto us a child is born in Bethlehem of Judea. Unto us a son is given, God the Son, the God-man in Christ Jesus, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What are we going to call Jesus of Nazareth? God, Father. What would you have known? He hasn't even been born yet. All you do is read. Just that one. He's going to be God the Father. We read it in John 14. If you've seen me, you have seen what? The Father. Yeah. God? Hang on. Now, so, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, over, if you would please, in the light. What did Israel... We want to look at Israel because They just, like we shared in morning in Sunday school, they just didn't want to come to grips with the fact that God was really God in his triune unity, in his unity in triunity. God. Awesome. Awesome. Wow. We share that. Now, God, they just couldn't do that. So coming over to Isaiah, and if you would, Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. And picking up, if I may, in verse 16. Looking at Israel, they go into and will go into captivity. And here in Isaiah 63, may I pick up the thought, verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, he doesn't know us. Israel acknowledge us not, they don't even bother with us. And Israel acknowledged us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, and thy name is from everlasting. Wow. Now, a remnant's, they're on the ball. They got it. Isaiah 64. And verse 7. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself, to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and thou hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Now, they got it, but only a handful. A little handful in the midst of trial and pressure, like David, when father or mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. When things all disappear and there's nowhere to go and no place to stand, no security, no safety, no certainty, no future. God, gotta go to you, gotta look to you with all our heart. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's all the agendas out there. We live in them, a whole other society, a whole other world, with all of its systems coming and going. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now, so God, here we are looking. So to get that, over if you would please, you need to get it. I'm going to try to help you understand a little if you're here last week in that with the John chapter 15. And verse 6, unless you abide in me, you are going to be burned up. That's believers. That means their works. We did all that. Now, if you don't abide, and very few people abide, they just don't abide because they don't even think about it. Abiding, what's abiding? We don't do that. Well, then if we don't abide, then all of our work, eating, drinking, raising, play, getting older, all of those things, it all ends up with nothing. When God meant it to be a wonderful journey to harvest a wealth of understanding and experience and glory, he meant it to be in his likeness, in his love, in his life. He meant it to happen. David said, listen, that's the only way you're going to get it. And David is, as you know, is going to be in the future. He's there in Jerusalem, coming up in the days ahead as a prince ruler in Jerusalem. God didn't put him aside. No. No, David, you had it. And you looked to God and that's all you wanted. So now God, back to the John 15. What you need to know, and we said it, you need to start somewhere. Now, if I'm going to get real technical and you and I start discussing this properly, objectively, you have to understand that people, the believers that are abiding and producing the much fruit, there's not a lot of them. Whether you and I are one of them, that's something else. And that's a sobering, awesome statement. And it's real. And you, if you think about it, boy, when I come, Luke 18:8, will I find the body of truth being believed? And I will not. It's a rhetorical question. People, the people that are supposed to be believing aren't believing. They don't believe. When I come. Wow. Now, so God, what I'm trying to say to you and myself, why don't you just do what you can do immediately? If you know the Lord is your Savior, be saved. If you know the Lord is your Savior, be a child. Be a son. And if you can't do that, you've got a problem. And that's your problem. You can't get to the other part because you can't get this part. So you got to be a son. Now, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, what's the issue being a son? What is the item? Well, here, just picking it up in Romans 8, may I go directly to verse 14. For as many as are led like a shepherd, that rule, to be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that word son isn't like the word child. Child is the born-again one, like you're born physically into the world. You're born, but this word son is to be like an adopted son. You're placed out here, you go from out here into Christ, and you go as a full son. You don't have to have, you get all the clothes you need, you get the suit you need, you get the mind you need, you get it all in one shot. He gives you the privilege of the full blossom sonship. That's the word. Now, as many as are led are the sons of God. Now I'm going to read verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, lest you have received, but you have received the spirit of adoption. There's the little word to be placed, and then the word son. That's in the word adoption, to place as a son. Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And you know, we've done the, just think of it, of all the, when you get saved, what's the, of all the things you, if you're really saved, what are you saying that you never said? Father. And now you could be Unitarian or something and do all that, but, and God is the Father of the whole works, there's no question, no question of that, but to be able to say that, now here's a whole pile of men that are there, out there in the world, but you only have one person that's father to you. I had a father, Aaron F. Parsons. He's my father. I never had, I had a whole lot of people on the journey, but no one was ever my father except Aaron. Aaron's the only one that could be my father. He could, and he was just an ordinary guy like us guys. A father. Uh-huh. Aaron, now, so when we come to God, you get saved, of all the men, of all the words you use. But now, when we say God, we say Father, in an intimate way. He's really your Father. Start with that. If you're a son. If you're a son, start with that. Get that part of it. I don't know how you're going to get to the other part. You'll never get to, people will never get to the other part unless they look to God. And God's going to help them. Therefore, I'm going to go further. Verse 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now there's the next word that we did, the be born again once. Children of God. We're children of God. And if we're children, we're children. Father, sons have to have a father. Children have to have a father. What does God tell you? And when you're jumping ahead and think of the New Testament, and John, how do you speak to us? by way of God. My little children. My little children. No. Yeah, that's us. Believers. Little children. And we have a father. If we aren't children, who am I? I'm a child of whom? God the Father. I'm a son of whom? God the Father. My father. God did that. God did that. And when you came out of into this world, out of the womb, when you did, you have a father and mother. And you want to understand that's how you came in, and God brought you in that way. For what reason? To be able to know the greater and reason you're even born sitting on planet Earth. To know God the Father. That's what it's about. And when it's all done, God said, listen, it's all about me being your father. I'm the father. And you have to be a child and a son. Now, if I'm going to do that, then that's going to help me a great deal. Over to Galatians, if you would. And in the book of Galatians, may go to chapter 1. Paul's going to give his testimony. And in Paul giving his testimony, as it were, if I can, up in verse 11, I certify, make very clear, official, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. In other words, it's God's word, not mine. For neither received I, neither I received it of men, nor was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, God said, and I believed. Therefore, verse 15, and when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he saved you physically. What for, Paul? To verse 16, to reveal his son in me. That's the whole point. His son. Aha. Now, how are we going to come to God as a father if we aren't a child, if we aren't a son? We can't. No more than I could go down the street and apart from somebody in the grocery store or something, and I say, Father, and the guy will give me a look, you know, what'd you say? Father? And he'll probably say, if he helps me, he said, I'm not your father, son. That's a kind. I'm not your father. No, because there is no one that's my father except the one father. Now, God, what did I find out? I found out, Paul, you were saved, and Jesus Christ made it possible for me to know God the Father, to be able to say Abba, Father. Now, God did that to me, and I had a father. I was a Roman citizen, a Jew, Roman citizen, rich. I had all this privilege. But we don't know where Paul's family disappeared to. We don't know. He never tells us. Why? Because it isn't relevant. It isn't relevant. If you were the King of Kings. No, I'm a child of God. Isn't that it? Of all the things to be, no one likes to hear it because they're offended. But I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. I'm a son of God. Oh, that'll really get them. I'm a son of God. You betcha. You bet your boots. I bet your boots. My father. You want to deal with him? You talk to him. He answers for me. My father does. Wow. Now, so therefore, Paul revealed his son in me. Or if you would please, chapter 1, verse 24, you know it. And they glorified God in me. So when Paul received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he received God in a most wonderful way in the person of Jesus Christ and in an awesome, awesome way. Over to Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 6. When he received him, God in him, what is God going to say inside the heart? What is God going to say to the person? Chapter 4 again, picking up, please, in verse 4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, I received, remember John, remember Galatians 1:16? Paul received his son in his heart. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, and he was crucified. To redeem them, why? To redeem them that were under the law. What for? Purpose. That he might receive, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That we could be sons. Aha! Back to sons. Full sons, right. And because we are sons, same word, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, saying what? Crying, Abba, Father. That's what it is. We say it, Romans 8. God says it. Now, what, it's all about you, Father. That's correct. That's correct. If you want to enjoy and understand, as we started to do in Sunday school, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And how do we honor God the Spirit? How do we honor God the Son? By God the Father. That's his choice. I want to honor you. I want to honor all of God. I want to honor and enjoy God in his fullness. So when I talk to you and we talk to you, our Father, we understand your Son made that possible. And the Spirit of God makes what your Son made possible on the cross ours, so that we can really be children, really be sons, really be dependent, childlike, not childish, childlike. Aha! That's what you want. Full, wonderful dependence. Absolutely. Therefore, Abba, Father, is the end of verse 6. Crying, Abba, Father. Now, Paul, here you are looking. And your concern now for the Galatians, for the believers, for us, for all of us. So therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to pray and write, God using you as a penman. And God, you're going to write. And what are you going to write to us? Verse 19, chapter 4. My little... That should want to come out. That's a nice word. What's wrong with that word? Little. A little water will make the little come out. So therefore, my little children, of whom I travail, like in producing in birth, travail in birth again, and again, and again. What are you looking for? Christ, that Christ be formed, fashioned in you. That's what you're looking for. And we shared that the other day, didn't we? God, the preaching, that what are we doing sitting here? That God would deal in a very personal way to every single person. It's always personal. Always personal. So when you're coming to be intellectual and academic, you aren't going to get what God's doing. God's going to deal with you personally. I'm up here to be what God help us. For God's going to speak to you personally. God knows your heart. God knows your background. God knows your future. God knows your habits. God's going to deliver to you. I just do. And it's going to come. And God's going to personally deal with you. That is what the local church is supposed to be. So that what? Colossians 1:28, 29, 28. To present every man, every one of you what? Perfect. To present each of you perfect before God in his presence. That's what the church is about. And when you come to say, oh, well, I'm going to learn something. Well, you may learn something. But boy, you better understand. If you're saved, you're in the body, you're a child of God. If you're saved, you're a son of God if you're saved. Romans 8:17. You're a joint heir. You're an heir. You inherited all that God made possible in Christ so that you lack how much? Nothing. And you're supposed to enjoy it. How? By way of the Father. The Father loves you. We're just human little beings But, oh, God, you love us. They do. Therefore, Paul, what are you saying? I'm praying that Christ be formed in you. That's what I'm looking for. That has to happen. And it needs to happen to fulfill God's wonderful, wonderful purpose. Over to 2 Corinthians. It's all about God being a father to you in a real, real, real way. Well, that's what it's about. And you little children, that's all we are. Now, God, you're going to say it, I am. Over here to 2 Corinthians again, and may I pick up the thought, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 13. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. I want you to, Christ be formed in you, Galatians 4:19. I want you, I'm looking for you to be enlarged, to grow, children, to grow. All right? Therefore, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath light, hath Christ with Belial, the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You got saved, wonderfully, wonderfully saved from your idolatry of your old nature. You got saved. For you are the temple of the living God. You are his property. You are his dwelling place. He finds his home in your heart. As a son. And as a son, the father finds his home in your heart as a son. You are the son. Christ, remember when you received God as your Savior, you received the Father and you received the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is able to go and help you understand what? That the Son of God, God the Son in you, and God the Father are one. And when you understand and enjoy God's wonderful work on Calvary's cross, then the Son of God makes possible your enjoyment of the Father of God and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. His wonderful, wonderful ministry is to make it all real and right on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's your Father. Period. And I can't do without my father. No. I can do without my earthly father, because that was only temporary at the best. But I can't do without you, Father. No. Therefore, verse 9. I'll read it again. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And wherefore? Therefore, I want you to hear me. Come out from among them. I want you to understand that you're a human and you have your relationships to work, to home, to school, to family. I want you to understand your main relationship is to me. I saved you for me, he said. I still have mother, father, brother, sister. I have all of those things maybe, but you aren't there anymore. You belong to me. You're first and foremost and always a believer. And you always honor me. Always. It'd be like someone saying, I don't want you to believe anymore. Would you do it? Could you do it? I don't want you to believe anymore. No. That's just the starting point. No, there's no backing out, no change. Father, no, we're stuck. And therefore, come out from among them, verse 17, and ye shall be, you'll be my, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. In what kind of way, God, verse 18, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons, my full-born adopted sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm going to treat you as my child, as my son, as my daughter. That's what I'm going to do. Now, I don't know how you're going to beat that. I don't know where you're going to go to play that game, to play church. No, nothing doing. Nothing doing, God. Nope. God, you got to help us. And therefore, God, you do that. And in the process, we can't look to the system as much. The system, the government, the educational system is not what it should be. The legal system is often not what it should be. The medical system, with all of its grandeur and everything, is awesome, but still, it isn't what it should be, could be. And the social needs are there. The social needs are there by the ton, and we just aren't, they aren't being addressed in a good way. And therefore, we all the more, God, we can't replace you. There is no replacement of you. There is no way to go around. There's no other God. God, you're the Father. Absolutely. There is no other Father, you know. You're the Father. And therefore, with that understanding and with that in mind, don't be a failure. Don't be so stubborn and stiff-necked that you miss out totally. Well, I don't believe, I don't think that's real. You don't have to think it's real. But boy, when you were born physically, you know you're real. And you didn't have a thing to do with it. You didn't have one thing. All you did is come out, and you didn't even know you had a body. You didn't even know what you had. And you just have received it, and we sit here in exercising what God has given us by His grace. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, if you do, God does an awesome thing in your heart and life. And therefore, you need to look to God to do His most wonderful thing. And therefore, to raise you up in His likeness, in His love, in His life. Wow. And God, you're going to do it. He is. And what do you want from us, God? Well, over in closing, over if you would to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And in Psalm 34, may I pick up, please, in thought, if I can, verse 60. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh, near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. God, you're looking for what? You aren't looking for us to be big shots or anything. You're looking for us to be able to be dependent little children that are so thankful that we can be little children, childlike, that we can have you, God, as our Father, in the person of Jesus Christ, by way of the awesome ministry of the Spirit of God, to be able to say, Father. That's the beginning. I got to start there. You start there, God. You started it. The first thing you said to me is Abba, Father. And you keep saying it. God, why can't I forget it next Wednesday? Because you're going to keep saying it. When things are hard and difficult and dangerous, God, you keep saying it. I forget it. But you never do. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you remember what? That I have a Father. In the Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior, I am a child of God. I am a son of God. And you are my Father. That's awesome. Awesome. Now, so in a broken heart, that's what you need, God. We come with broken things. We fall down and hurt ourselves. And we do stupid things and say stupid things. And we do all of that, God. We do. But God, you know we're little. And we have to grow up. And we have to become what you want us to be, like your son. That's what it's all about. So now, here's this building in the city. And the city's a very nice building. A very nice building. It's in the city. And there it is. And the city has built up. It's a great metropolis with the big story buildings and everything, and classy everything. And here in the middle is a lot, a little hunk of ground in the middle, and your little house on it. Wow. And you've held in there while that city has been built up, and boy, you know your property went for $500 to $7 zillion. You got that little piece of property right in the middle of the city. Boy, would people love to get a hold of that piece of property. Wow, pulled another skyscraper. Uh-huh. Now, so here comes the guy along, and the guy along, but you aren't thinking about that. You're thinking because it's your house, and it's your favorite, your everything. Your everything like that. Wow. And so therefore, the guy wants to buy it, and you're ready, you're willing to sell it. And therefore, you do a little work. You paint the rooms and repaint them and fix the rug and just sort of spruce everything up so the guy would get his money's worth. And he does all that, and you're sort of happy. And when he comes to give you the check, you show him the house and show him what you've done and improved. You've given him a new kitchen. I mean, what can you tell you? A new counter. Pots and pans. I mean, you can't have better than that. And you look at that, and he takes the check. You take the check, and you go out the door, and lo and behold, and you come back that next week. You hadn't even a week gone by, and you come back the next week just to see how things are going and see how the owner likes the house. But there is no house. The house got all torn down. But what was wrong with the house? I fixed it. It was my house. Ah. But God said, the property has become mine. And it's my house that's on the property. Your body is mine. And I don't want the old house. I'm going to put my house on it, where I live. Do you understand? It's where I live. You don't live there anymore, like you do. You're not just a nobody lost sinner. You're a saved saint. And you're going to be one in my house that I'll build for my glory and my honor. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, we just need to start somewhere. God, if we don't start, we never get there. Just go through the motions, God. And who needs motions? Then we go back to work, home, school, and we think the same way, feel the same way, live the same way. God, nothing. Nope, God, it's all different, all to be different. And you would be, why is it going to be different? Because you're the Father. And you said that. You told us that. You make it known. You couldn't make it known more emphatically, more clearly. If you're going to say it all the time, then boy, God, we're going to have to catch on. My Father, thank you very much. So deal with us. God, for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them. God, to have a real relationship, not just a, oh yeah, I believe. That doesn't save us, God. You save us. You save us. Your residency in our little life is what saves us. God, thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, thank you, Father, that we have Father's Day every day, forever. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.